And unless the Lord breathes on something, there's nothing I could do about it. But just accept His perfect will. And I was thinking about His word today, you know, about what His word would be. Amen. How many of you know that Jesus, hallelujah, is the author of our faith? And we trust his word. We trust His word. And while we're still here, we're going to take collections. We're going to take tithes and offerings. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." He says, it's better to give than to receive. And I'm thankful for God's provision for Susan and I and for this church for all of these years. We're just so thankful that somehow, some way, God has intervened and God has helped out in just sustaining us. Amen. And the Bible says, give honor to where honor is due. And I know that, you know, Jesus talked about giving so many times. He talks about the widow's mite. You know, He talks about how blessed it is to give. And how He talks about the fact that He wants to multiply our seed. He said, give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, how He multiplies those seeds. I want to thank God for that provision. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to give today. Amen. And God doesn't look at the content as much as He looks at the attitude of when we give. So no matter where you are, whatever church you go to, you got to give. So let's pray this morning in Jesus' name. So hold up your envelopes and thank the Lord. For He gives us the ability to make wealth. Father, we ask Your blessings on the offering today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Where's the ushers? Who did the overhead today? Who's doing the overhead? Kayvon? Kayvon, stand up, man. Yay, Kayvon! You could just, I don't know if you got to, don't put it in the safe upstairs, you know. It's not safe in the safe, is it? Everybody good? It's a little hot in here, I have to say. It's hot. Listen, praise God that we have heat, right? Amen? Good to meet you. Good to know you. Hallelujah. She gives me two little fingers, you know. God is good. God is good. Last week, when I was preaching, I asked God to give me like one word, a theme. And it's always something that how God speaks to me. And He's been so faithful that every day, every week, He gives me something to give back to you. And, you know, the way this works is that God's word is a two-edged sword. So whatever I'm giving to you, God's also speaking to me about it. There are things in my life that I need as well. And through the word of God, he gives me the word to give to you. Things that I go through, He gives me to give to you. Because we're all in the same boat. Amen? You know, when I think about, we changed the name of the church to Christian Life Fellowship. The word fellowship means there's all a bunch of fellows in the same ship. And we all go through life, amen, as human beings, and we have similar needs. Amen? It doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or not. It has nothing to do with that. Am I right? It has to do with the fact that we're human beings, and we all need God's word. We all need to hear from God. We all need correction. Amen. We need direction. We need comfort. Amen. We all need the same things. Praise be to God. We need to hear something from God. You know, I was talking to one of my sons, and he was sitting there. They want to hear from God. And I think we're so used to the world where we think that God has to make an announcement when he comes or something before he speaks to us. But we see times in Scripture how God speaks to us through a little voice. But we have to listen to that voice, that inner voice inside. He doesn't make an announcement. And certain people ask, God, show me. Show me your word. Send somebody to speak to me. I need direction. Help me. And God's speaking and we're not listening. Or sometimes he uses little children. Sometimes he uses a word. Sometimes he uses a song. Sometimes people even pray for us and are praying for us and they give us a word and we disregard it. I think it's important that we're sensitive to the fact that God is speaking and we need to hear. It's not so much he doesn't want to speak to us or we don't hear from God. I think the problem is listening. Listening to God. Are we listening to hear his voice? You know, this situation with Elijah, I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 6, where he goes and he's running away from Ahab's wife, Jezebel, and he goes out and he goes beside the brook of Kedar, and then the ravens feed him, and they give him food, they give him meat, and he's drinking from the brook, and everything starts to dry up. And God has a way, when it dries up, to move you on. Amen? He has to push you out of the nest sometimes. Mickey said to me, she was reiterating, you know, she's been here so long, she's known all of the sermons I've preached, and she knows Sue and I very well because she's worked here. And she says, sometimes, Pastor Bob, you need to listen because how God works with you, sometimes he dries things up and pushes you on. He pushes you on. And sometimes we need to listen when he is pushing. What is he saying? What is he saying? And that situation with Elijah, he went into a cave. And we heard this sermon in Louisiana. My wife helped me out here. When we went to Louisiana, this pastor was talking about the stone that was in front of the grave. Amen? Wasn't he talking about that? And he was talking about the cave. And inside the cave, sometimes we decide that we want to be away from a situation. We crawl into a cave, you know? And the thing that's preventing us from getting out, we roll a stone there. And that stone is representative of the stone that the builders rejected. Who was behind the stone when he was laid in the grave? Jesus. But there's a stone there from us getting out. We could be resurrected and we don't know, hallelujah, that we are because we're still behind the stone. We need to get out, hallelujah. Elijah was in that cave and he was expecting, you know, God to erupt the whole mountain. And he expected the wind to come and then hear the word. But then all of a sudden he heard a little word. Just a little word. And I heard that in the original language it's called the daughter of a voice. In other words, it's a small little voice. And we need to hear what God is saying. And one of the things that got my attention as an early Christian, as I was seeking him and I was seeking his word, I'm a baby Christian. And I says, I need some comfort from God. I want to make sure I'm serving the right God. Amen? And when I went into the Bible, hallelujah, it's a good place to go to see if you can hear God's word, isn't it? Was I heard the word of Jesus. I heard him speaking, you know. And one of the issues I was dealing with at the time was that I was a father. I had two children. Aaron wasn't born yet. My mother lived with me. And I had a sister who was in a wheelchair. She was handicapped, cerebral palsy. She had a very bad case of it. And my mother was getting older. My father just had passed away, so I have a mortgage. I'm working at a job that I really don't like. I remember as a kid growing up, you know, I was told by my school teachers that I was a bright child and I had a future if I studied and so on and so forth. But somehow I wound up working early, and I continue to work as a roofer, as a home improvement guy. And I was doing this job, and I wasn't happy. And I got sick, and I was bleeding internally. And I survived that. And when I came out of that thing, and I was seeking the things of God, I started looking in His Word, and I realized that Jesus' words were comforting to me. And one of the issues that I had, and we have a tendency to have, is that we can have a tendency as human beings to worry. Hello? Raise your hand if you've ever worried about something. Jackie, you're wonderful. You never worried about anything? Praise be to God. And as a young man, I was in a condition, I was in a situation where I was not happy. I felt that there was no way out. I felt trapped by my circumstances. I felt that it was too late to go back to school and to study and to learn. And I mean, I really just didn't have a really good outlook on life. And one of the things, you know, I was responsible for my mother and my sister and my wife, of course, first, and my two children at the time. I had a mortgage to pay, and it was a hard job. It wasn't an easy job. But I had to wake up every morning and go to work, you know, and take that responsibility and provide for my family. And if I could entitle the message today, believe it or not, the thing that I had in my mind this morning, I had some rhymes, you know. Sometimes Pastor Bob has rhymes. And the name of the title would be From Seed to Greed to Need. From Seed to Greed to Need. And I was pondering in my mind, what has God given me here? And the seeds that God gives us, or sometimes that we obtain, are thoughts. Those are called naemas. Not Naima Brown that used to work here, but it's a Greek word. It's called a noema. It's a thought. And how many of you know that the devil could throw thoughts in your mind? That's what he's good at, like hypnotic suggestion. There's things that you see on TV that's subliminal. You don't even realize you're watching it, and then before you know it, you go and you're buying that product at the store because they brainwash us. You know what I'm talking about? Brown eggs. I was in the store. Brown eggs. I was thinking about brown eggs, so we bought brown eggs. Because we heard this thing, or we were watching this thing about brown eggs. And there it is. We bought brown eggs. We're totally brainwashed. We don't even realize we're brainwashed. How many could agree sometimes? And the seed represents the thought. And you know what we need to do with some of the thoughts? We need to cast it out. We need to cast out the thoughts. Why don't you worry? You know, you should be worried about your situation. I mean, your circumstances. You should be concerned. You know, there's a difference between being responsible and concerned and being worried. Amen? I think worry drains us out. Worry has a tendency of depleting us of our resources and our mind and our heart and our spirit. It disorients our moods. It destroys creativity. It depletes our sense of completion, which comes from within. And things can't be achieved by trying to acquire certain things. And the Bible is very clear. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in high places. So it's those thought matters that come from the enemy that cause us to be concerned about situations. Amen? We're concerned about things. How many concerned about things? How am I going to make my car payment? How am I going to make my mortgage payment? What school am I going to go to? What college am I going to go to? What person am I going to marry? What person am I not going to marry? Whatever it is, you know, there's always a concern in life about things. And at that time, when I was young, I was worrying about too many things. I was young. I didn't realize how strong I was physically, but I really needed to get powerful or strong in the power of His might, not on my own abilities. Because I realized when I was 28 years old, I almost died. I realized at that particular point in time that I had no power to control my destiny as far as death was concerned. That the power comes from God. The authority of my life and my breath comes from the Lord. Amen? And when I trust God, hallelujah, I know that I'm in good hands because He cares for me. You know, when this man died, I wrote a scripture verse to his widow, and it says in Peter, it says, you know, He put your cares upon Him because He cares for you. I realize that He cares about us, that He died for our sins, but also God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish and have eternal life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. The enemy comes to steal and to destroy and to rob. I spent a lot of time just worrying and does nothing. It does nothing. All it does is makes hallelujah, the problem or the thing that you're worrying about bigger than God. And when that comes into play, you've empowered the devil instead of being empowered by what God is saying about us. We're actually idol worshiping. We're worshiping something that is contrary to the Word of God. Why do we worry or why do we wrestle against things that we can't even change? One pastor writes, it took me years to realize that when I went to bed, I shouldn't go with half my day wrapped around my head. I wrestled all night with issues that couldn't be resolved until morning anyway. I can't tell you how many days I went to work feeling like the worn heel of an old shoe. I was less affected and effective and able to perform to full capacity. And it took its toll on my relationships. Anybody here could relate to that? Here's God's prescription for worry. It's more effective than Prozac. It's more effective than Valium. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds any understanding we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then it says, then the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4:6-9. That's in the Living Testament. You know, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests to the Lord. And then the God of peace, say peace. You know, in the book of Romans 5, Romans 5:17, it says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is the kingdom of God. God came to transform us out of this kingdom into the kingdom of His light. And when we recognize the fact that, hallelujah, we are born into the kingdom of God by the Spirit, we have to acknowledge that everything is spiritual as well as materialistic. But I think that, my sermon's talking about need, greed, seed, and all of these things that rhyme. I think we confuse our needs with our greeds. And, you know, the society that we've been brought up into, we focus on the materialistic things more than the spiritual things. As a matter of fact, sometimes even for me, Pastor Bob, I have to press in to the Spirit. And there's a big blockage all the time. You know what it is? My flesh. Now, it doesn't mean I'm doing bad fleshy things. eating could be, you know, impeding my relationship with God. Sleeping too much could impede my relationship with God. The flesh wants, and thinks on things that it shouldn't. And that's why we need to be renewed in our mind. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Not the removing of our mind, but the renewing of our mind. It says in Romans chapter 12, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, for this is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not your removing of your mind, but the renewing of your mind. With what? With the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. We need to cleanse our mind. We cleanse our bodies, but we don't cleanse our mind. And what is our mind? Our mind is our thoughts, our will, our emotions. And we're consumed by our thoughts and emotions. And that's what causes worry. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get to college? How? Well, we need to take every thought captive and put it under the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It says that in 1 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive. So, the aspect of the sermon that I'm talking about today, you know, as far as the seed is concerned, the seed has to do a lot with your thought life. Amen? It's what kind of seed are you taking in? You could take the Word of God, which is a seed, or you could take a thought, which is a seed. Amen? And, you know, you can't stop the birds from going over your head, but you could stop them from nesting in your head. And that's where worry comes from thinking or stinking thinking. Thinking about that God can't supply your need, or not believing God's word and believing the devil's word. Has anybody been there? Come on, somebody help me. You hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to me. Amen? Because I need to be reminded. And you know, Jesus, by the way, you know, we think as pastors and preachers that we're so special. You know, we come together and we put these things together. We're so special. All we really need to do is read God's word. You can't improve on Jesus' words. I don't know what we're trying to do. We're trying to embellish. The most perfect thing that there is Jesus' word toward us. You know, we want to add to it, or we want to take another slant on it. Take it for what it is. When I needed God, I went to his word. When I need Jesus, I go to his word. I don't go to a pastor. I mean, I hear sermons that talk about the word. But what we need to go is directly to the word itself and listen to Jesus' words. Why don't we do that as human beings? Why? Because our minds are occupied by 100 other things. You can't improve your thought life by worrying. It's actually a sin. Look at what it says in Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, of what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, don't take it out of context. Jesus is not saying don't eat, or don't be concerned about when you're going to eat, or what you're going to prepare for dinner. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, what is your priority? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. What is your priority? Don't think about that more than anything else. What you put on is not more than life. He said, behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more better than they? Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Which of you, by taking thought, there it goes again, that seed, the thought, can add one cubit to your stature? You know, I had to go and look at this in different translation because I don't speak King James. How many speak King James here? It sounds a little bit better in the New Living Translation. You know, Jesus is talking in Matthew 6 here in the Living Translation, 6:19. Do not store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal them. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. There now he's talking about the seed. Now he's talking about the eyesight, which could be greed. He says, the eye is like a lamp that provides light to your body. When the eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And the light you think you have is actually darkness. How deep that darkness is. You know, people are deceived. Hallelujah. And they don't know they're deceived. Because if they knew what they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. They wouldn't act deceived. They wouldn't do things that they did do. It's because they've been out of the light so long that they forgot what the light looks like. Or the fact that it's illuminating. You see, the devil wants to keep us in darkness from seeing the salvation of the Lord, to seeing the restoration of the Lord, to seeing the power of God, to seeing who he actually is. That's been his whole theme since day one. If you read the first, you know, the five I wills, I will exalt myself above the highest throne of God. He has an agenda, and that's to take away the glory of God. It says, your eye is like the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Let's go to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And money is a spirit. Money is a spirit. Mammon is a spirit. That is why I tell you, do not worry. Say worry. Come on, everybody say worry.
Worry.
Please don't worry. That is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough or clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And isn't your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the field. They do not plant, they don't harvest or store food in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? You know, these are practical words. But here's the one that got me the most. It says in verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and thrown into the field on fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? 34, so don't worry about these things. Don't worry. 34, so skip over. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. How many know that faith is the opposite of fear? And fearing about something that's going to happen is opposite of God's faith. You know, sometimes we anticipate something negative that's going to happen that didn't even happen, or sometimes won't even happen. I'll tell you what. Devil's had me up nights thinking about negativity, about things that are going to happen in the negative that never even came to pass. If I had the same faith for things concerning the kingdom of God, we'd have great faith. You know what I'm talking about? We'd see things happen because if I spent my time on God's word about what he's saying concerning things instead of worrying about things that may not even happen at all, then praise be to God, we could build his kingdom. Hallelujah. But we spend a lot of time, unfortunately, on things that we shouldn't. So take every thought captive, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:5. Hallelujah. So now Jesus is saying some of the remedies to your greed situation and worry situation is this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need shall be added unto you. Therefore, say therefore. And as you know, the rule of hermeneutics, scientific interpretation of the Bible, is that when you look at therefore, you have to question, what is it there for? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's look at an English translation of that. Amen. Praise be to God. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. There's something, you know, some people want to know the will of God. You obey his commandments by the power of his spirit, and then he gives you the things that you need. There's a tendency in today's economy, and especially the church of today, people think that they can get away with things and fool God, but just name it and claim it, and God's going to provide because there's an entitlement here. Well, that's the way people are living in this world. No pain, no gain. You don't work, you don't eat. I mean, those are principles that have always been there. But today, the false gospel is that you could just quote God's word because he says he's going to supply your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and there's no problem. But if you look at the context of what it was written, it says that he will supply your need. But before that, preceding that, it talks about those that gave. And as a reward of that, God is going to supply all of your need. You see, God wants to supply all of your needs. He's not a crabby God that doesn't want to supply. No, he just said it. If he feeds the birds of the air, aren't you more important than that? But there's an attitude of gratitude that we need to have and expect the fact that when we obey God, you see, we also have to obey his commandment. And there's a principle that when you work, you eat. Amen? Man don't work, he don't eat. Man don't work, he don't get a woman. Hallelujah. Like it says in the garden. You know, he said, gave Adam a job first. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow is going to bring its own worries. Today is trouble for itself. Amen? Are you with me? So why do we wrestle against things we can't change? Why do we do that? Because that's our nature. Our nature is to be like that. Amen? That's why we have to renew our nature. That's why Jesus said you must be born again from the Spirit. There has to be, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's a transformation. It's progressive, and I'm not talking about Democrats or anything like that when I'm talking about progressives here. I'm not talking about communism, because communism is basically a hate against God. Everything in communism and socialism is against God. It's against God's word. That doesn't mean I'm a Republican. It means that I'm against things that are against God. Are you hearing me? So when you vote, vote for the lesser of the two evils, because they all smell. They're all liars. I mean, in order to be a politician, one of the qualifications is you have to be a liar and a chameleon. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that even wants that kind of power, why do they want to be there? Why do they want to be in control? You know what I'm saying? What's their motivation? I want to be the president of the United States. I want to be written in history book. Really? Man, I don't want that job. Trust me. Here's God's perspective for worry. It's more effective than Prozac. Don't worry about anything. Easy for you to say, Pastor Bob. You are a pastor. No, I am a human being. And I have situations that I think about a lot. Too much. Amen? I'm a very analytical person. See, now I'm using an excuse. Oh, he's analytical. You know, he's a thinker. What was that, Sue? I'm a realist. You know, like Pastor Rod told his wife, Mary, you have to be, I'm a realist. And she said, nope, Rod, that's not in the Bible. That's an excuse for no faith. Oh, my goodness. I'm a realist? Where's that in the Bible? Is that in there? I'm a realist? No. The righteous shall live by faith. We hate that. We hate that. I don't want to live that. I don't want to live by faith. Come on. I want it now. I want it now. I want it here. I want it now. I want it today. I can't wait. The world has conditioned us. I have no patience. I'm trying. I ask God for patience every day, but I said, Lord, I want it now. You know, we want patience. You know, we need patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. This last year has developed my patience. There's certain things I still don't have patience for, but I'm working on it. God's working on me to make me what I want to be. Took him just a week to make the earth and the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Also, how lovely he can be. He's still working on me. You know, we need to see how we have to develop and train ourselves in the ways of the Lord. That's why the Bible talks about training. You know, it says, Paul was talking to Timothy. He says, you got to train yourself for godliness in Timothy 4:7. He says, you got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a process that we need to continue to do. I'm working on it. Amen? I'm not perfect. Ask my kids that live with me. Ask my wife. I'm not perfect, but I'm godly. I'm a man that goes after God's heart. You see, everybody thinks a holy man doesn't do anything wrong. No, a holy man seeks the presence of God. A holy man goes after God. A holy man seeks his kingdom. A holy man knows that he makes and messes up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But I'm thankful that he cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that he covers all my sins. I'm glad that he leads me in the place of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff comforts me. And surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, because I'm going to dwell in the house. I'm going to seek his kingdom first. I'm going to ask and receive, because I believe he's a merciful God. He's a good father. He's a good daddy. He loves me. He knows I'll pray. That doesn't give me an excuse. But I'll tell you one thing. I know when I mess up, I can go right to him. He says, if I confess my sin, he's right and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And we have an advocate with the Father. It says in 1 John chapter 2, it says the advocate, his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He is our abogado. He is our lawyer. He is, hallelujah, there, hallelujah. Say, look at my hand. Look at, I died for him. Look at, Father, look at the blood-scarred hands I got here. I died in his place. He is not being prosecuted anymore. He's under the blood. He's covered. But you see, you have to appeal. You have to appeal to the Father. You have to appeal to Jesus. You have to keep going to him and say, Lord, cover me. Hey, Lord, I need your covering today. I need your protection today. I need your, hallelujah, remission of sins today. I need your anointing today. I need your direction today. That's seeking his kingdom first. It's not about coming to church every day, because most of the time in your life, you're out there. You hear me? I wish you were in church every day, but that's not the case. You got to go to work. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is that you personally, in every situation, should be seeking his kingdom. That doesn't mean you're in church. It means you're seeking God. It means you're seeking Jesus in every situation, in every circumstance. He's the provider of your need, not your greed. Amen. Just like I teach about, he's going to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So, we have worry for our flesh, and that's the seed thought. We have greed that's caused upon us or perpetrated upon us by society, being in this world and being hoodwinked by the God of this world, brainwashed, and that's why we need the transformation by his word to overcome that. Amen. And then he's going to give us what we need. I think when we know that our needs are met, we'll act a little bit differently. You know, Paul, actually, it was David who said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or them begging bread. When you seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, Jesus said, I'm going to give you everything you need. Not according to your greed. But in America, we want more. More. More money. More money. You know what? The more you have a key to, the more you're in bondage of. We don't need much. I was sharing with Susan the other day. I was upstairs in my office. You know, there's a room up there. It's a room. Amen. How much do we need? You can only, you know, occupy a certain amount of space. Amen. In other words, a bed, a sink, a stove, you know, a fridge. There's not that much that we need. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when these people have these boats and these yachts and these big houses that are big as this room or bigger, okay? Like, for what? Like, what do you need that for? You know what I'm saying? You ever accumulate things in your house? See, my garage, forget about it. We have to throw out stuff. The amount of time that I use, I don't even go down there anymore to take anything from there. You know, once in a while, I'll take a suitcase because we're going to go on a trip. Hallelujah, praise God. And you accumulate. Oh, I need this. My father-in-law, God bless his soul, accumulated. And when I used to go into his garage, if I needed a screwdriver and I moved it 1 inch away, he would come in and he goes, "You took my screwdriver. Did you put it back to where it was?" And I never forget, I was in business and I needed certain tools. And I couldn't afford these tools. And he had all of these tools. He had skill saws and drills. He didn't have one of them. He had like three drills. He had four or five saws. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. Motors. And guess what happened when he died? We took the junk truck and dumped everything because it rusted. If you don't use it, you lose it. All it did was take up space. But it could have been used for something. And you see, it's just like us. God wants it. He doesn't want to abuse us, but he certainly does want to use us to build his kingdom. He gave you gifts and talents. I have no time. I'm a proponent. I have a proponent. Susan and I live by this all of our lives. Seeking the kingdom first meant that we were going to have our children in Christian school. We were going to go to every service that the church held. That includes prayer services. That includes fasting services. That includes services where we would try to raise money. Or we would help the community. Or we would give out food. Whatever it was, we were involved. Where am I going with this? I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm not the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you in all truth. I'm saying to you that I sought the kingdom of God, and we were never without anything. We always had. See, then God supplied all my need. The need. So it's the seed, the greed, and the need. He supplies your need. Seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and he will supply. He will give you. It's his good pleasure to give to his children. He wants to give to you. But again, when we prioritize, we're Americans. You know, we're Americans. I want to help pastors that have sacrificed. God put that in my heart. I have pastor friends that have given their lives to God, have no retirement. I want to help pastors because they laid down their life for the ministry. I think we as sheep sometimes forget the relationship. Honor those, or honor, give honor to where honor is due. Don't muzzle the ox while he's on the threshing floor. The sheep are taken care of by the shepherd, but it's reciprocal in the relationship. Why am I telling you this? Because it's going to go on Hopefully they're recording it today. Maybe some other pastor will hear it. Maybe some other church will hear it. Church people need to take care of their pastor. Because so the pastor goes, so goes the church. Amen? If I'm out of whack, you know, how am I going to give to you anything? You know? But I have to thank God that Susan and I have always sought the kingdom first, and God has always supplied our need. I'm here to you today to encourage you not to worry, to take every thought captive, and to seek the kingdom first. Right? Not to worry, to take every thought captive, and seek the kingdom first. Kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God bless you.